If it's good, we'll tell you. If it's rubbish, we'll tell you. This is Radio Yorkshire, the only place for honest opinions on the greatest game.
Let's head to the Beaumont Legal Stadium for the first time this afternoon. Craig Murdoch and Gary Schofield are there, looking forward to another slice of a championship action. And no pies for you there, no chip butties for you, Scoey, but it's good to see that your hard work has been rewarded. You know, Rugby League Hall of Famer, OBE, you're in a million different club Hall of Fames. I mean, recognised with a bus named after you and this, that and the other. But today, the highest possible achievement, because Hull Kingston Rovers, having listened to you moan on the radio that they had no pies for their first game of the season, a sign in the press room, we've had our own pie gate this week. You can thank Gary Schofield for these. Enjoy. And the good ladies and gentlemen of the Rugby League media have pies, peas and chips, it looks like, to enjoy this afternoon, thanks to your hard work, Gary. So, you know, congratulations on another great achievement in your illustrious career.
I tell you what, the amount of respect what I get nowadays is just unbelievable, isn't it? But, yeah, fair play to Craig Udgill. And as I say, I didn't moan, Richie. All I was saying is, listen, Hull Kingston Rovers, you know, you're a quality club, you're a very professional club. Come on, look after the right people. And they've done exactly that today. And I tell you what, fair credit to Mr. Udgill. Plenty of respect for him. I just wish I was there, to be honest with you, because we're here at the Sheffield Battle game. From a point of view, there's nothing on the surface of a point, any chip butties or pies, but hopefully, Rich, we're going to see a quality game of rugby league.
We talk about Sheffield, I guess an original expansion team back in the mid-80s, and I don't know if you saw it yesterday, Siddle and Toronto in the Challenge Cup. That was a bit of a bruising encounter in conditions much worse than they are today. I don't know if either of you saw that game.
Yeah, I watched it. I have no life, Rich. I just watched rugby league, so yeah, I watched it. It was really good. I thought it was a fantastic advert for grassroots rugby league. You know, it was a great crowd, you know, intense game of rugby league. And for all the money and the power of Toronto, they only just got home. You know, full credit to Siddle, who, you know, let's be fair, Siddle are at the, you know, top echelons of amateur rugby league, but they certainly give a few people a fright in the Toronto colours, that is for sure. And it was a great spectacle.
I think we said on Monday that might be one of the tougher games for Toronto this season, especially some of their opponents in League One coming up.
Well, yeah, as well, what's going to happen with Toronto, Rich, is quite simple here. With the players, what they've got, and their ambition, what they've got, they are going to be, it's like Hull Kingston Rovers here, now the Championship, they are going to be a target for everybody. It's as simple as that, you know, and they know that, so there's no Salicott for them, the quality of the squad they've got, so they are going to be have to be on their A-game every week, because if they're not, then they're going to get turned over, because everybody's looking for that big scalp. It's as simple as that.
Do we know how the judiciary works with players being sent off in a game with only one camera? Because Fufu Moi Moi, he didn't miss with that late hit.
No, he didn't, you know, and I'm sure, as you said, it's on the cameras, so they'll make a decision on that this week. But, you know, it just wasn't Siddle yesterday as well, was it? West Hull, you know, nearly beat Whitehaven 2 points. A late try from Whitehaven got them there, and I think Freyston Rovers pushed Keighley all the way as well. Keighley ran away with it after a bit of a scuffle, both teams down to 11 men. So, you know, it shows that the amateur game has got some strong teams in it, you know, throughout, and those teams in the lower leagues, you know, maybe aren't that much better than some of the top amateur clubs.
Now, the good news is there's still at least one amateur team in the next round, because Haydock beat West Warriors in the battle of the community clubs, so they're through to the next round, and it could be, you know, all the teams will be looking to avoid those community sides, because as we saw yesterday, as you say, they certainly put up a fight against these semi-pro teams.
Yeah, and Haydock, I think, coached by Chris Smith, who used to play on the wing for Cass, played on the wing for Saints. He's the coach there, I think, helped out by Jason Roach, another one who's played in the pro game. So, you know, there is, you know, lots of, you know, professionalism in these amateur clubs. And as you saw yesterday with the setup and that of Siddle, the amount of people that they get watching. And I know, you know, back up in the heartlands of Cumbria, where, you know, Scoey is a god up there as well. You know, there's some of the amateur games up there are a lot better supported than what the professional games are, Scoey, aren't they?
Oh, they are. And as I said, we all know the company is okay at this moment in time, Craig, and you're from there yourself. They may not be supporting the Whitehaven and Workington, because at the end of the day, I think they've got fed up with watching rubbish. But when there's a bit of quality rugby league about, it's shown that certainly with Scotland in the Four Nations, they will watch quality rugby league. When England played up there, when they played Cumbria, I think back in 2008 or something like that, Craig, there was a sensational crowd from there, and the amateur rugby league scene up there is very strong. It is quality, and people will watch it.
And at Workington out, losing to Newcastle yesterday as well, which I don't know if it's a surprise or not.
Oh yeah, it is. It is, and I say I'll upset my my other half at the side of me here, but you know I'm a working some fan, to be honest with you. I know Craig's from the other side at Whitehaven there, but yeah, by all accounts, with reports what I've heard, they were in control. But again, unfortunately, Rich, and it's an old saying, it's an old adage, it's an old cliche. If you don't play the full 80 minutes, you'll get turned over.
I'm not so sure it is a shot, Rich. I think Newcastle have recruited really well, and they're you're talking of the expansion, you know, and they're another one who, you know, slowly starting to get local players, a bit of local support. Yes, majority of this team is still travelling to play up there, but they've got a decent side this year, and they will be in that top four or five, I believe, come the end of the season. I think Newcastle, the best side they've had, you know, obviously since the Super League days when it was Gateshead Thunder.
Oh, mate, you're just happy. You're just happy that my Workington have got beat, aren't you? You're
yes.
just happy. We've been away ever, lad.
Yes,
you're
I am.
Just happy, aren't you?
get the jam eaters out.
We could be the two lads who really get on here. He calls me the other half and I call him, well, the better half. We could be falling out this afternoon. Workington and Whitehaven going head to head.
Surely not, surely. Well, you two go selling your differences off air.
What the hell is that? Brass band music? It's Sunday. Get the rugby league on.
Well, let's head straight back to the Beaumont Legal Stadium, Bellevue, where Gary and Craig have been enjoying some rugby league this afternoon. And as you say, a completely different performance from last week for Batley, but for Sheffield Eagles, you know, they had an awful season last year, and well, they picked up that win against Toulouse in their first home game of the season, but it's not looking good for them in 2017, is it?
No, it's going to be tough, and obviously, you know, they were one of the sides who made the four, weren't they, in the first lot of eights when we did it 2 years ago, and their decision was to go full-time, and, you know, that's definitely backfired, in my opinion, and they were a poor side, or not the side they were last year, because they lost a lot of players by going full-time. You know, there's a lot of players in this championship, Rich, who I say on a regular basis, they're not playing Super League because they don't want to play Super League. You know, there'd be a lot of players in this division would be great squad players for Super League clubs, but to be a squad player around the 20, 30 grand mark, to be full-time, a lot of these have got good jobs who pick up that money, and then the rugby league money pick up 10,000-15,000 on top of that, and that's a hard sell to your missus if you say, look, I'm going to give up 15-16 grand to go and play full-time rugby. Your missus looks at you and says, yeah, right, of course you are. So I think there's a lot of good players is what I'm trying to get at, and going full-time has certainly cost Sheffield. You look at Brambani, he was at Sheffield, wasn't he? You know, they had another cup, Patch Walker, who was another one. They lost a lot of players who didn't want to go full-time when they did that, and they've never got themselves back on an even keel since then.
And I guess, you know, that was a decision of their own making. They've had plenty of bad decisions made by other people for them in the past. Well, we're coming up to 20 years almost since the merger, aren't we, in the reformation of Sheffield, the destruction of the Don Valley Stadium, which is still a ridiculous decision in Sheffield. And they haven't got a home, and you know, like Wakefield may not have in the future. A home, as we've seen this weekend, is very important.
Well, it is, yeah, but also as well, we're at the here and now, aren't we? And I say what I've seen today from this side, and you know, and I think the Sheffield players and the coaching staff and all the management, they put someone up in their dressing room saying, well, we're going to prove Scoy wrong. He said we're going to finish 11th. Well, I tell you what. They might not finish 11th, they might finish bottom of what I've seen here this afternoon, Reece, to be honest with you, because I haven't seen any spirit, I've not seen no character. And let's take nothing away from Batley. You know, as I said in commentary, Matt Diskin, he wanted a reaction from last week's performance, even though Featherstone played pretty well, but he wanted a reaction, got reaction. But what I've seen from this Sheffield side this afternoon, this is going to be a long, long, hard season for them.
Well, we'll talk about the other championship results when they come in, but we'll look on the weekend in Super League and start with Hull on Thursday. Very disappointing performance. It seems like the Catalans had a game plan yet again, stuck to it, and ground out a victory.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, I think, obviously, living in Hull and reading the press and speaking and working with a lot of the fans of the Black and Whites, you know, they think that there's a big season coming from them, and they're expecting, at the very, very least, a top four finish. And obviously, as a fall off the step, the game at Wakefield was in dour conditions, and they managed to sneak over the line. It wasn't, you know, a great performance, but the conditions dictated that. But on Thursday night, no excuses, and all were awful. Simple as.
In the Goldfish Bowl, that is Hull, and as we've seen this week with Claudio Ranieri in football, Is it a simple matter of a string of bad results and the pressure straight on Lee Radford from certain elements of supporters who, you know, this time last year were calling for his head?
Oh, yeah, we've had a doubt. But at the end of the day, you know, he gets a job to do for players from there. And it's quite simple. That half-back partnership now needs binning. It needs binning now because he's never going to work. Jake Connell's never going to be a stand-off half. As long as, let's say, he wants to play rugby league, he can't pass the ball. And I've said about Mark Sleen, I'm not going to be harsh with him. I am not going to be harsh with him one little bit. He's absolutely clueless with ball in hand. He seems to be frightened at times that he wants to go to the line and take the defensive lines on. And when his kicking game's not on, when he doesn't offer anything whatsoever. And I'm hoping that he might listen to something when I'm saying about him at times, because with ball in hand, and surely people have said this about him, all and to him, because he offers absolutely nothing as a creative halfback. And as I say, when his kicking game's off, like it was on Friday night, then he doesn't offer anything.
Have you got some balance to give us on that one, Greg?
I'm not going to go as far as what Scully does, but you know what he's saying, you know, in my opinion, is correct. That, you know, obviously, look, if you score a try off a kick, you get 4 points. If you score a try with a great creative pass, you get 4 points. It doesn't matter how you create them. It's the same result, the same points for the try. But his kicking game is arguably as good as anybody's in the league when it's on. But when it's not, Hull lack creativity and they need a plan B. And with obviously Albert Kelly was brought in to do that. He didn't play, obviously, because he was suspended. He'll come back into the side this week and will hopefully, if you're a Hull fan, you know, add some creativity to them. But, you know, they went up against a team who were as big and as strong as what they are in the Dragons. And, you know, they had that bit of flair to get them over the line. Hull didn't have that. You know, so it's a blow because home form is critical. This year's competition in the Championship and, as we said, in Super League is going to be the tightest we've had so far. You can make a case for everybody getting the eight. And what you've got to do, Rich, you've got to win at home. So that's a big blow for Hull.
And that they head to Huddersfield on Thursday night, the team who they obviously lost to last season, just before the split in the league when Huddersfield were dreadful. And Huddersfield, they should... I mean, I was there on Friday. You can say I'm biased, whatever, but Wakefield should have won that game comfortably. I think Rick Stone pretty much said so afterwards at half-time. He thought it's the kind of game that would have gone 40-16 as a full-time score. It didn't. And Huddersfield came back to win 24-16. So a good battling performance from the Giants. We'll start with them. Two wins from three. A much better start to this year than last.
Oh, yeah, it is. Without a doubt. And let's say Rick Stone, I think he's still trying to find his best side at the time and the reaction, what he's looking for. And he's certainly got a reaction in the second half. And, you know, Danny Brough, you know, again, I harp on week in and week out, and I will do, how important what halfbacks are. And yeah, Danny Brough, for the last 20 minutes, he was allowed to play a little bit, and he was the main difference by our accounts. Okay, Wakefield, what I've heard from them, they weren't really smart enough for the last 20 minutes. But hey, listen, the game since 1895 has been for the full 80 minutes, and if you don't play for the full 80 minutes, you'll get found out.
If you have back-to-back-to-back sets in the Huddersfield 20, you don't score, something's gone wrong, hasn't it?
Well, it is, and we all know in rugby league, it's all, you know, that phrase, momentum, isn't it? You know, they get momentum and a roll on and whatever terminology you want to put on it. But at the end of the day, if you're not smart enough, if you're not creative enough, and quite simply, you don't play for the full 80 minutes. You know, this game of rugby league, Rich, it's quite easy. If you've got the right people to do the right job for you, and I say, I will harp on about him. I will harp on about Mark Sneed until people start listening. He's not good enough. If Hull want to be a consistent top four side, if Hull want to be a side that's going to be challenging for the trophies, they need far better quality creative halfbacks. It's as simple as that.
11 defeats in a row for Wakefield, should they be worried?
Yes, definitely, you know, without a doubt. At the end of the day, like I said, you know, home form's key, and obviously they lost that first one against Hull FC, and the lost one that they should have won against Huddersfield, you know, should have, would have, could have, doesn't mean anything. It's points on the board. And no, look, I don't think there's any, you know, let's mass panic. I'm not saying that by any stretch of the imagination. But when you look at that stat, 11 games without a win, it doesn't read good, does it? And so you want to get off that and get rid of that ASAP. And they've got, I don't know who the next game is.
St. Helens on Friday. Yes.
And there's a team that are under pressure as well, because, you know,
Well, Kieran, well, look at St. Helens, you know, taking off away from Lee. They were outstanding on Friday night. And I say Saints again, they'll be looking for a reaction for that performance. But one thing for sure here as well, Rich, and you're a Wakefield fan, and I said it before the season, and I've been speaking to Michael Carr before the game here today, and I said it in the studio before the season kicked off. The expectancy now of Wakefield not just to sneak into the top eight, it's there. It's there from the fans that, yeah, they make the top eight. And so now two questions for me. It's quite simple. And as I said on that night on the radio show when Michael was there, are the players believing in their own publicity?
Well, Chris Chester pretty much said that in the press conference. Maybe a couple of players were too much in love with themselves.
Yeah, falling in love with themselves. Are they reading too much publicity? And then secondly as well, Rich, right, are these players good enough to handle the pressure week in and week out? Because the pressure is on, because, and I say, these fans here now at Wakefield and with the team, what they've got and all the hype what's been said, they're expecting to make the eight. So can the player, can these players handle the pressure?
St Helens, then, as you mentioned, the game there on Friday. And I guess there's less pressure on Wakefield than St Helens, because I mentioned pressure on Lee Radford, but the Saints fans on Kieran Cunningham, we saw it last year bubbling over, and you know, they start the season with that win, scrappy win over Leeds, but a win nonetheless, and then losing to a Lee Centurion side who, you know, we saw the week before against Leeds, should have won that game. So they're a decent team, Lee.
Yeah, Lee are a decent side. I said, you know, there was a bit panicky after that first game against Castleford where, oh, you know, everybody was saying, oh, Lee are going to finish bottom and that. I just think Lee aren't a team that's made for Castleford. You know, Castleford are going to throw the ball about. What Lee want is that physicality of that, you know, let's go toe-to-toe. And St Helens and Leeds, you know, both are made for their game. So, you know, they were always going to do better against those sides for me. But, you know, Lee add something different because they can play a little bit as well on the back of that. Whereas, you know, with Saints and Leeds, it's very physical, it's very tough. You can throw a hole into that bracket as well. You know, it's all about the wrestle, it's all about the little things. And, you know, St. Helens, you talk about pressure, it's a different pressure on Kieran Cunningham, isn't it? It's, you know, it's not about winning games, it's about winning trophies. You know, because Saints, when was the last time they won a trophy?
4 years ago, don't know, is it? 4 or 5 years ago, I don't know.
You know, so that's pressure, isn't it? You know, for a team like St. Helens in Super League, you know, who've always been there or thereabouts, and Saints as well, Scully, you know, going back to day one, have always been an entertaining side.
Absolutely.
They're not at the moment, are they?
Well, again, they're boring to watch, aren't they? And we know they've had a big setback with Matty Smith being out for what? He's going to be out for nearly 3 months with that broken leg. So, but no, Saints are boring to watch, and the fans, they are very frustrated. And one thing for sure, as you mentioned there, Craig and Rich, it's not all about the league games week in and week out with St Helens. They expect not just to be in finals, but winning silverware.
A team who used to win silverware but haven't for a year, Leeds Rhinos. Sounds like Salford can count themselves unlucky not to have at least got a draw from this one with Leeds' late try apparently being forward. I've not seen it myself, but that's two wins in a row for Leeds. They're getting the points on the board, if not the performances necessarily.
It's all about that, isn't it? You know, it doesn't matter how you get them. A win's a win's a win. And they did it. And if you see it, Rich, it sort of gives it away when he passes, when Stevie Ward passes before the line and the catcher catches it after the line.
It's a mile forward. It's Craig, show me today, Rich. And I'm a Leeds man and I'm a Leeds fan, but it was a mile forward.
You know, so they've got a bit of luck. Look, and that evens itself out over the course of the season. And, you know, they'll get a try that they've scored that gets chalked off. So it's just unlucky on Salford. But again, I think it shows how the competition is improving, because a Salford side, as you said, going to a champion team like Leeds and them finding themselves very, very unlucky not to come away with at least a draw by a bad decision. So it means the competition in a whole is getting, whether the quality is improving, that's a different argument, but the competitiveness of all the teams, that is improving.
I'll tell you what as well, I think that one of the reasons why that it seems to be getting a bit better, or the teams are getting a little bit closer, is that nobody wants to be in that bottom four, do they?
No.
Nobody, and Widnes have said it, you know, when they got themselves out of it, nobody wants to be in that bottom four, and I reckon that's why the reason it's getting a little bit better quality maybe week in and week out.
My mouth is watering, because on Thursday night at the Menderhose Jungle, the Leeds Rhinos take on the Castleford Tigers. And, well, you were there on Friday, Scurry. When I got home from Huddersfield, I immediately put the tries on to see how good this performance was that Mark Wilson was raving about. And the Castleford Tigers, well, they're everyone's, apart from, as they say, Wakefield and Featherston fans, probably second favourite team at the moment, because they play such good rugby. And beat Warrington probably more convincingly than the scoreline suggests in the end.
Oh, yeah, they did. But first of all, let's take nothing away here from Warrington, Rich. They play very well, you know. Warrington play very well. It was just that Castleford, and they're certainly from a defensive point of view. But even before Super League came in, you know, that name, Classic Cass. And I tell you what, for 80 minutes, they were absolutely outstanding. And the pleasure to watch and a joy to watch. And take nothing away from the players, the way that they're allowed to express themselves, play with that freedom, and play with that vision and awareness I keep going on about. But, and I say, the way that Daniel Powell just lets them get on with the job from there. And as I said in commentary today, how you train is how you play, and how you play is how you train. And that's exactly what Castleford are doing. But one thing for sure now as well, the dressing room, what he's got down there, everybody's happy. Everybody be going down there with a smile on their face. And one thing for sure, they can't wait to get out there and play smart, attractive rugby league. And boy, oh boy, is Weldon Road going to be rocking on Thursday night.
Yeah, it certainly is. And I think what I like about Cass, Rich, as well, is I think we've gone away from it a little bit as a sport, that we are in the entertainment business. You know, people pay good, hard money to go and watch their team. And you come away from a lot of games now, you know, we're in a lucky situation that we don't have to pay, and we get in and, you know, to watch the game or to work on the game for free. You know, we're not paying our hard-earned cash to go and do that. If I'd paid to a lot of games that I've seen at Super League lately, I'd be wanting a refund. You know, whereas you go to Cass and you know whether win, lose or draw, you're going to see some entertainment, and it's great to watch, and people saying, oh, Cass have won it already. I just think it's a breath of fresh air how they play. It's great to watch. You saw it, you know, how many other teams in the comp would, after scoring a try, would pass three wide and go down the other side of the edge? And
they wouldn't.
And, you know, Luke Gale scores that try. Fantastic play from Hardacre, but just having the ability, like Warrington, to back themselves, that if it's on, it's on. Let's give it a go. And if it breaks down, we'll back our defence to stop the other team from scoring. Great to watch. And as you say, Cass is certainly my, well, I'm going to say, I don't know if they're second or what team, but yeah, I'm a big fan of Cass this year, and I hope they do well.
And I'll tell you what as well, Rich, right? And because it's in my column tomorrow. Let's just, because Daniel Powell for mine, right? Daniel Powell should be the England coach. What we should do now is just say, listen, okay, Wayne, thanks very much, though, but we're going it our way, and the way that Daniel Powell coaches. Because have a look at this now, right? Listen to this, and it's in my column tomorrow. Just say, for instance, at full-back, Zach Hardacre, and then on the wings, we've got Jermaine McGilfrey and Ryan Hall. And in the centres, you can have Callum Watkins. At this moment in time, I'd have Young Gildart, because I like Young Gildart, he's got pace, but also two Shenton showing his form, right? Under Daryl Powell, then backs, I'd be thinking, I'll tell you what, we have a chance of scoring tries here, 40, 50, 60, 70 metres out, not being used as battering rams. Jermaine McGilfrey, Callum Watkins and other players, they are being used as battering rams. You don't see the Castleford wingers at times taking it from dummy half being used as battering rams, because no, he's encouraging that vision and awareness, the point of way around the field, that I tell you what, them backs would absolutely love to be playing for him, because they would be used properly. And until Daniel Powell is made the England coach, I'm not going to be satisfied. Simple as that.
McGilvery took his try very well, I should say, for Huddersfield on Wednesday.
No, but the point I'm making...
Well, I know what you're saying.
But the point I'm making is, it's right, when you saw that England side perform, McGilvery, Callum Watkins and all the backs from there, they didn't even look as though they was going to get a pass 40, 50, 60 metres out. They were just used as batting rams. And the only time they looked as though they were going to get the ball at time was when on the last tackle, when the kick was coming in. If Daniel Powell was our coach, we would be looking and plotting our way around the field from anywhere on there, because we've got pace and we've got vision and we've got lads who can score tries.
And I think what he's done as well, Rich, is he's highlighted players who he thinks can fit into the structure.
It trusts
that
them
he
as well, Craig.
Play.
It trusts them to play like this.
Luke Gale is by far the head and shoulders the best halfback we've got for me in this country. You know, they've brought him in. They've brought in Rangi Chase, who plays in that game. They've got Hardacre in the back, who can play that sort of game as well. So, you know, he's highlighted the players he wants, and he's made that system fit round the players with that ability to do that. And it, as I said, it's a breath of fresh air, and it's great.
But I tell you
watch.
What, Craig, right? Look at this England halfback. Look at this England backline here now, right? Listen to this one. Zach Hardacre at fullback. McGilfrey, Ryan Hall on the wings. In the centres, OK, Shenton's coming back there from there. So, Callum Watkins, Shenton, and then Luke Gale at George Williams. I'll tell you what, the creativity's there, the pace is there, and as I say, him coming back in from the line, playing with a smile on his face, Zach Hardacre, that is a quality backline. And we would cause Australia, New Zealand all sorts of problems if Daniel Powell was a coach, because he would allow him to play.
Well, what, it's like, you know, I said to you last week, Scoring, it's, I think what our problem is, Rich, if we have, you know, Wayne Bennett's a fantastic coach, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, he has been. We know he has.
He's forgot more about rugby league than I'll ever know. But he's going to play his Australian game against an Australian side. Now, if we play that Aussie game against that side, we can't win. The only way that we can beat the Aussies is to play our game, like we saw at the weekend where Warrington played a different game that Brisbane didn't know how to handle.
Correct,
because it was
correct.
Something totally fresh. So if we're going to play English players, play an English style and have an English coach who can communicate what he wants to do to those players. And just for the record, Scoey, I'd probably have Burgess on the wing instead of Ryan Hall, because he's back to his... I saw the game on Friday.
Well, we'll be for sure here. We don't lack, like, even talk at the fullback, but we don't lack quality wingers.
No.
You know, we have got five, six, seven quality wingers, so we don't lack from there. So, yeah, but I want Dano Powell in charge, because he plays it the right way, and he would cause the style of play that he plays, international rugby league, and we know what he promotes at Castleford, then we would cause... Australia, New Zealand, all sorts of... I'd even go as far to say we could bloody well win the thing if Dan Opel was in charge.
I won't ask you about Witness Wigan tonight, because we'll save that for tomorrow, because I want you to go and get warm, because I think that could take up a large chunk of the programme. But I'll ask you a question what Phillips mentioned on Facebook while we were talking about that game. The use of dual registration by Featherstone, having Brett Delaney and Anthony Mullally in their squad... Is that what dual registration is really supposed to be designed
I'm just calming Scully down here, Rich. And I said, you'd probably been better asking us the witness question, because you would have got a better response. But no, look, I think Scully and I both are in agreement that dual reg isn't the way forward. And look, you can't blame Featherstone and you can't blame Leeds for using that. You know, Brett Delaney certainly needs a game in him. Mullally needs a game in him. Ash Hanley needs to play on a weekly basis. They haven't got a reserve grade. They're too old to play in the 19s. What do you do? So you can't blame the clubs for doing it. It's the rule that's completely wrong. For mine, and I've said it a million times, we need a reserve grade where these younger players can play for the club that they've signed, they play for the badge that's on the left chest. And it's Leeds, it's a Cass badge, it's a Hull badge, it's a whoever badge. It's not a Featherstone badge. You know, Featherstone have got young players of their own who are having to miss out because Leeds players are coming in. Can you blame John Sharp? No, you can't. If he's getting the player of Brett Delaney's calibre, who wouldn't pick him? You know, you'd be crazy not to when your job's on the line and you need to get back in those four to get the money so you can keep recruiting players. The system is completely and utterly wrong. And until it's changed, I don't know. It's wrong for me, is the answer. It's going now. I've calmed him down.
Listen, you've said it all. It's quite similar for mine. It's wrong. The system's wrong and it's cheating.
Fair enough. Gary, we shall see you tomorrow for another 2 hours of lively rugby league debates, which we will talk about Wigan and Widnes and the whole shambles that was Friday and Thursday. Craig, are you back with us on Sunday for the... you're back with us Thursday, aren't you?
Thursday. I'm at Castleford for that. Can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. Really, I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a great game.
I will be sat at home. I will be hashtag mute the telly and listening to the commentary on Radio Yorkshire, because I can't wait for that one. Craig and Gary, go get yourselves warm. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon. And we'll catch up with you again soon.
Cheers, Rich.
Craig Murdoch and Gary Scofield, they're live from Bellevue. And I can tell you, as soon as I've said goodbye, they've disconnected their line and they have gone to get warm. And to be honest, I can't blame them.